Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayer. When we call, answer us, please. Come, hear, and listen to our petitions. May this profound word from Romans and John and Psalm 130 be like daily bread for us, sustaining us and nourishing us for the journey ahead. Help us to learn how to watch and wait. Help us to tune our hearts and our minds to the movement of your Spirit in our lives. These things we pray in your high and holy name. Amen. So depth, D-E-P-T-H, depth, the deep, water above your head, a problem, even metaphorically, that is drowning you, something that has overcome you completely. I remember once hiking out west in a canyon so deep that I could look up and barely see the sky anymore. I was well, well down in the depths of the earth in that moment of my life. If you're like me and you like to watch nature shows, every now and then you'll find one where somebody sends some revolutionary submarine down into the bottom of the ocean, and life is different there in the depths. Strange life forms that don't exist anywhere else on the planet, things that defy all the laws that we know about biological life. Yes, the depth is like that. Things happen there when we're lost in the deep that we can hardly explain. Things happen there that scare us. Things happen there that can break our hearts. Out of the depths I cry to you. That's how Psalm 130 begins. Out of the depths I cry to you, because from the depths of loss or despair, that is when we most commonly cry out to God. As many have pointed out before me, the most basic human prayer has three parts. Help me, help me, help me, God. And we've all prayed that one, haven't we? We most commonly pray that prayer, I think, when we are lost in the deep, whether the deep is literal, whether it's metaphorical, psychological, or even situational. And we cry out when we are lost in the deep. And by deep, I mean deep, deep, oh, deep, deep down of devastating situations, the grief from the loss of a loved one, the end of a marriage that we had thrown our hopes into, the struggling of a child, someone who we pray for every day who's mired in some form of addiction. In those moments, we might feel out of our depths. It's one of my favorite phrases in modern English language. I am out of my depths here, which means that we cannot handle our challenges or circumstances without more talent, more help, more knowledge, or more resources. I'm out of my depths. I don't know what to do. And that's how Psalm 130 starts, because the psalmist wisely knows that when we are lost in the deep places of this life, there's no one else to turn to except God. And that's where we begin. That's when we bring our petitions to God. This we ask. We ask God so many things, circumstances where in the depths. We ask our most intense questions for and of God. And sometimes we are in the depths because of something that has happened to us. Someone has caused us to sink. And sometimes we are out of our depth because of something that we have done to ourselves. I will say this, that the cause of the depths that we find ourselves in and the suffering that we experience there might be different. We might have all different causes and needs, but the experience, how it feels to be out of our depths, well, that's all the same. Now, I think the best psalms are the best psalms because they are the most personal. And Psalm 130, beginning in the depths of loss and confusion, is among the absolute best that we have. This past Thursday, our resident pastor, Lee Hunter, preached about Psalm 130, and she said this. She said, quote, "There's nothing new here. Themes of despair, repentance, hope, and trust in God's faithfulness and forgiveness, these have all been present before." She said, "Psalm 130 is short and it's simple. It's just an earnest prayer, asking God to be attentive to our needs, leaning not on our own understanding, but placing our hope and trust in the Lord to come through for us, to redeem us from our sins, and to free us from the sins of the world." Her phrase, placing our hopes and trust in the Lord, is exactly where we find the family of Lazarus today in John chapter 11. Mary and Martha and their friends and family and their extended network of friends includes Jesus and his disciples. Word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is powerfully ill and that Jesus needs to come and come quickly because the family is in the depths. The family is in the depths. And by the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has died. Before I speak more about this profound and essential gospel account, and by profound and essential, I think John 11, the raising of Lazarus, is just one notch below this Christmas story and the story of Easter itself, of the empty tomb of Jesus. But let me say before we dive into it that John chapter 11 is like the gospel in miniature. Another place to find that in the Bible is the account of the prodigal son in Luke. Those two stories tell us the whole gospel story in just a few verses. We get it all there. And so this raising of Lazarus has in its 44 verses all the elements of our gospel faith, all of it. Everything that we should and know and believe about Jesus is here. So Lazarus and his family, his sisters Mary and Martha, are in Bethany. Bethany is very near Jerusalem, only that's not the location we should be concerned about. The location we should be concerned about is they are out of their depths, all of them in grief. They are lost in mourning, convinced that Jesus has come too late, convinced that nothing good can come from Lazarus in his untimely passing. Lazarus, you see, is in the deepest place he can be. The depth of all depths. Out of the depths I cry to you, O God. That may or must have been the prayer of Lazarus, who has been lost to illness, lost to the biological limits of human life, lost to everything that we know is rational and scientific. He is in the grip of death itself, the greatest set of depths we can ever know. Logic says it's game over, the end, done. It's a settled fact. But you see, the gospel doesn't trade on logic, never has, never will. Jesus tells us much in John 11, especially at verses 25 and 26, two of the most precious verses in all the Bible, when he says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Yeah. Where we see the incomprehensible deep of death, Jesus sees life. When we ask of God, "Why has my loved one reached the end of his life or her life?" Jesus says, "It's not the end, it's a new beginning." That's the legacy of Lazarus, him foreshadowing the resurrection of Jesus. And regardless of the timing of when Jesus arrives or the details of the dialogue of the story, the point is that Jesus shows up as Lazarus has been lost. He restores the man to life. And he tells everybody who is there, "Unbind him and let him go." Because where we see ends, the gospel sees new life and possibilities. Where we feel that all has been lost, God sees the possibility of being found. That's the message of Easter, and upon it, all of our hopes and faith hang and depend. So we ask our questions of God. "This we ask of you today, O God." That's what we've been saying all this Lenten season, and we typically ask the most of God when we find ourselves lost in the deep. Oh, it's easy to imagine the questions that Lazarus asked God while his body failed. Maybe we, all of us, have asked similar questions or will one day in our future. I mean, even here at White Memorial right now, we have three fellow church members who have sat in those pews and sang these hymns and prayed with us, three who are in hospice at this very hour. It was four yesterday, and today it's three. And Lord only knows the questions that those people and their families are asking right now. See, they're in the deep, deep, deep down. But regardless of how lost they may feel, regardless how lost we might feel in the depths of despair and confusion, God and Jesus show up to be present for us. That's the lesson of John 11, our gospel in miniature and the story of Lazarus. And it is our Lenten confession, just as it shall become our Easter hope. Now, in the church calendar around here, we're not at Easter yet. We've still got a couple weeks. But Jesus and Lazarus prove a point of faith for us that Easter will also emphasize. Namely, that when we are lost in the depths and challenges of life, God shows up because God's promise is to rescue us from any and every depth we might face. By the grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, which our Romans text was about, God says life when we see despair. Where we see and feel depth, God through Jesus sends life rafts to us and bails us out of our worst fears. Yeah, friends, depths come into every light. Life. Great challenges, spiritual and emotional, will arrive for all of us. The question is, what will we do? What will you do when the depths close around us and frame us in? Will we trust God in those moments? Will we trust others? Or will we decide to trust no one? Just say, God, let me get this lost. I'm finished. What will we do in that moment? And truthfully, some of you may not have ever found yourselves in depths like that yet. You may never have felt that lost. But let me give you some good news and bad news. You will. It happens to all of us. But when you do, I promise God will be there. And you will ask your questions from God, and God will give direction. God will answer, maybe not like we want God to answer, maybe not like when we want God to answer, but God does answers, and the answers point us to this declaration of faith, that it's not about what we do, but it's about what God is willing to do. And that's hard for modern people. We think that we hold all the cards. We've got Google and GPS, and we can find any information we want to in a heartbeat. And we really think that we hold all the cards and that the information is going to save us. But it doesn't, and we don't. It doesn't, and we don't. God's got the cards. And so ultimately, it's not about what we can or cannot do, but it's about what God can and does do. Lazarus, remember, is lost in the depths of death until Jesus shows up. And then Jesus changes everything. And when God shows up in our depths, I promise you God will say something like this to your heart. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And when God does this, you will be blessed by the Spirit and the blessings of life. For you see, it's not about what Lazarus or Mary or Martha can do. It's about who God is and what God does. And in that, we should remember, even in our depths, that God can find us by the power of the Spirit and then lead us back to life. From the depths to life. Out of our depths to being found. Such is the project of God. It carries us through this Lenten season into Easter Day itself. And our thanksgiving for the fact that God is this way should never, ever end. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we remember these powerful scriptures this day and give God our thanks and praise. Amen. When I was a young pastor in Charlotte, that was my favorite hymn, and I memorize it. And I think that sometimes when I go on to pastoral visits where people are just impossibly lost in circumstances that they could never have imagined finding themselves in. And often think of that last phrase, that so though all hell should endeavor to take, I will not ever forsake. And that's the promise. And I hope you can lean into it when you need it. Because it's there for you, each and every one of you. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we all be blessed until we meet again.